I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I am so thrilled to have my next guest here. We have Carrie Rich, who is, first of all, my friend, but also an incredible, incredible business person and a four-time author. Her latest book is called Impact the World. I have it right here. She co-authored it with Dean Falk, and it is such an amazing, amazing book. It is called Impact the World, Live Your Values, and Drive Changes as a Citizen Statesperson. And it is not only awesome, but I learned a ton in here. There's all kinds of tools in the book too. And it is just really, really worth it. Definitely worth it. So she is the co-founder of the Global Good Fund, which is dedicated to investing in socially impactful businesses, primarily led by Black, Brown, and women founders. And as I mentioned, her book, Impact the World, Live Your Values, and Drive Change as a Citizen Statesperson, was recently published and is now a Wall Street Journal and Amazon bestseller. Can't wait to discuss Carrie's amazing journey and how she has scaled to where she is today. And overall, just hear more about her awesome book and how we can all be doing much more impactful things. So welcome, Carrie.
Thank you so much for having me, Kara.
Super, super excited to have you here. So let's start at the beginning. So tell us a little bit more about Carrie. Did you always think that you would be working in social impact? Tell us a little bit more.
I grew up, I'm the daughter of two federal employees, and our big adventure was moving next door when I turned 1 year old. So a life full of adventure. The idea, I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was. Really stable, wonderful upbringing. I cared about health. I developed an early interest in health. And at the time, social entrepreneurship did not exist when I was in school. But the idea of learning the business of helping people and investing in the health of communities, that was as close to social impact and social entrepreneurship that I could find. It was the business of doing good by the community. That's what I studied. I learned about health. And then I realized that the health of communities is really determined by access to education, to work, to clean air to breathe and clean water to drink. And, you know, those are influenced by entrepreneurs. And that's where this idea of social entrepreneurship came to play in my life.
Totally, totally agree. So your first job?
Yeah. So I actually had an internship and when I was in graduate school, and I got the worst jobs in the hospital setting where my internship was. I mopped the floors, I folded the laundry, and my best task was I got to take attendance because who should walk in the room for the meeting and had to introduce himself to me but the CEO of the whole health system. And he ended up hiring me in a chief of staff type role. And it dawned on me that I had this amazing mentor and a platform and responsibilities in a way that accelerated my career a lot more quickly than it would have had I not had such a fabulous mentor. And there are so many people out there who never get that shot. So that was the impetus behind the Global Good Fund.
That's amazing. So let's talk about the Global Good Fund. So you ultimately decided to start this. Like, how did you have the courage to just go do that? I mean, it's just, did somebody, I mean, you mentioned your mentor and kind of just so happened to find this person along the way. But was there anybody else that you kind of looked at that was definitely influential in helping you decide that you were going to go start this fund?
You know, the most influential part for me was sitting down with my mentor and writing a financial life plan. Because there's nothing more scary than starting a startup, never mind a nonprofit startup. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no equity, there's no chance at the financial means that could be created from a for-profit. And so that was scary because I had life goals that I wanted to achieve and they cost money. And so I actually sat down with a stack of napkins and wrote out what the cost of the things I wanted to do with my life are. And that was with my mentor's encouragement. And he really helped me understand that, you know, you have goals, you set financial goals along with them. And it gave me the courage to understand that I could do this, that it was a big leap of faith and that healthcare would always be there. The society always needs healthcare, but the opportunity to make such a global impact may or may not be before me. And I should take this chance and have a board and advisors who would be there to support me along the journey, because it's been an up and down journey.
Explain a little bit more about what the Global Good Fund is too.
Sure. So we're a nonprofit organization about 10 years old. And what we do is identify social entrepreneurs across the United States and in 40 countries globally to date who are using their business for good. And when we say social entrepreneurs, we're talking about companies where you cannot remove the mission from the company or else the company ceases to exist. That's the whole reason for the company's founding in the first place. And the difference for Global Good Fund is we support the individual. We believe that by investing in the individual, that individual goes on to scale their business and positively impact the world. And so we provide access to executive coaching, business mentoring from people leading $40 million to $60 billion companies for one-on-one mentorship, and a philanthropic grant to be used on the individual entrepreneur for their personal development. And what we've found through third parties is that our entrepreneurs are 2 to 3 times as effective at raising capital as other social entrepreneurs because we've invested in them as human beings.
That's awesome. Really, really great. So the world is navigating extraordinary times and yes, people are leaving the workforce right and left. I'm not sure where they're going necessarily, but I know that there's a shortage everywhere, globally everywhere. So you believe that a renewed civic spirit is here. I'd love to hear a little bit more of your thoughts on this and what you see happening amongst the workforce out there, and why is this shift so important?
Yeah, so people seem to be distrusting of institutions. And there's a big difference between advocating on the street and protesting and then aligning with organizations, institutions, businesses that can create and drive positive change. And so we're, the reason we wrote this book about becoming a citizen statesperson is it's often people who say, I don't like the way something is running. I don't like the way things are. I want to create change. And I think the way to do that most effectively is by partnering. Mm-hmm. And that was the impetus behind writing this book. And we also were able to showcase there are social entrepreneurs and all kinds of citizen states people who have used their platform or built a platform to partner with all kinds of people and institutions to positively impact the world.
I learned so much from your book. I mean, it really, as you know, I had given you a quote for the book and had read parts of it. But it was, I really dug in, especially getting ready for this interview, looked a little bit closer. I love this term citizen statesperson and defining, you know, exactly who this person is and why it matters so much. But can you give a little bit further description on that?
We're looking at people who want to roll up their sleeves and be responsible for the changes that they want to see. And there are people who want to do so in a way that's professional and not going to threaten other people and are going to be respectful of the organizations and institutions that are already created that they can leverage to make mm-hmm. positive change. So these are people going to roll up their sleeves and advocate in a way that involves volunteering to be the change and make the change that they want to see.
So you share a ton of stories in your book about various people who are effective citizen statesperson. What's one of your favorites from the book?
Okay, so the way we open the book is with a company and two leaders. The company's name is Isuzu, and the leaders are Rumimo Abbey and Samir Goel. And they are first-generation American and an immigrant from the slum of Nigeria who came to the U.S. to pursue opportunities and were denied access to loans because they didn't have a credit score. And they thought, this isn't right. They ended up borrowing from a predatory lender at 400% interest rate. And they said this should never happen to anyone else. So they created a business called Esusu that's just become a Black and brown-led unicorn recently. And they've created helped hundreds of thousands of low-income Americans establish credit scores through their monthly rental payments at no cost to the tenants. So these are folks who are paying rent anyway. And what they did is they partnered with landlords, commercial landlords, which is a vehicle that already exists, because it was in the landlord's best interest to prevent evictions. And so Esusu created a vehicle that not only benefits the landlords, but also benefits the tenants who, now that they have credit scores and those credit scores have increased as a result of Esusu, they're able to now go out and start their own companies, pay for school, buy their own homes, create the American dream, create a life for themselves that wouldn't otherwise be accessible. So that's a very inspiring story for me. And they were a Global Good Fund fellow back in the day.
Oh, that's awesome. No, I loved that story too. And it's also just so great that you actually bring these stories forward, because I think that there are so many stories out there of really awful things happening like that, that you just don't hear these stories too, because how do these people voice exactly what is happening? And I think that the way that you encourage people to really go and create and change versus actually just deciding, well, that's just the way the system works.
Right. And for those of us who work within the system, there's still an opportunity to create change by partnering with the organizations as they exist today.
Well, and that was my next question, which is, what are the steps that anyone can really take to kind of be helpful and be able to work alongside maybe somebody who is doing something to create change?
Well, I can say personally, when I've rolled up my sleeves and asked to volunteer or add value in a setting where I wasn't invited, but I saw an opportunity to add value, that's often been received with open arms in ways that I wouldn't have expected. And it can be menial tasks, like taking attendance. But if you're adding value where there's a gap, it is of value to the organization or the cause. And so the first step is really getting in there and closing the gap with your time or your perspective.
You brought up a really interesting point, because I talk about this all the time. When you're actually doing something that is helping people in a way that gets them unstuck, that is, you know, we do it in the name of health, right? We're helping people by creating great products with Hint to really get healthy and stay healthy. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you are volunteering, no matter what you're doing, you're mentoring, whatever it is, to really sit alongside that person or open doors for that person, and they come to you and say, wow, you really helped me. It hits you in all the right places, right?
Yeah.
Like, you feel needed, you've created impact, and it's a great thing. So I love it. And I love your tools. If you want to just talk about the tools that you give in the book, some of, you know, the next steps for people.
Citizen statesperson is a big concept, and that was actually Dean's idea. And the thought was, how do we make that a little more tangible and concrete? So throughout the book, we've woven a variety of tools. And we also have a website called impacttheworld.com where you can download individualized tools that can help you on your social impact journey.
No, it's super, super great. So going back to you and sort of your own personal journey, you've been in a number of different roles and done incredible things. I always think that there is a group of people who look at people who have been successful or who are successful today and think, Carrie just snapped her fingers and everything was great.
I wish.
Everything was perfect. Well, everything's great.
Be
no
nice.
Challenges, no failures along the way. And so one of the things that I always ask people to share is a story where you hit a challenge, you hit a bump in the road, you didn't know if you were going to be able to fix something. And share a little bit more about that, but also what did you learn either about the issue or about yourself and sort of how to, you know, move forward?
One of the opportunities that we saw as a nonprofit was to create revenue streams that are sort of untraditional. And 8 years ago, we came up with the idea of creating a venture capital fund that invests in companies for social good and produces phenomenal financial returns that are at least as good as what traditional well-performing funds perform. And this was an idea, but we'd been working on it for 8 years. And we started out with a pilot fund where I asked about 100 people if they would each give me just a little bit of capital to make investments in social impact companies. And most people, about 100 people said no, but 10 people said yes. And I went about managing this fund with guidance from one of the Global Good Fund's board members, who is a venture capitalist. And that fund performed really well. It produced financial returns that are about three times what a solid performing venture capital fund would perform. The companies, the portfolio are 100% socially impactful investments, led 80% of the companies are led by Black, Brown, or Women entrepreneurs. So in a variety of ways, it was impactful and financially lucrative for our investors. And so it was time to raise a second fund. And I thought the right thing to do to lead and raise a second fund would be to have someone with a really long track record making money for investors to lead the company. And so I went out and find a really qualified, amazing human. And I brought him to the LPs, the investors. And we fell flat on our face after a year of trying. We failed. I mean, we just failed. And you can have, you know, a variety of reasons why. Maybe the market wasn't ready. Maybe people just weren't that interested in social impact. You know, we can have a variety of reasons, but we failed. And I went home and I stopped. I kind of gave up on the idea that it was the right thing to do or the right thing for me to do. And then someone basically shook me and hit me over the head and helped me see that the problem is that you were not the one leading the fund. And I started giving excuses. I said, well, I don't have a track record of leading a venture capital fund. I've managed a nonprofit for the last 10 years. My background's in healthcare. And she said, no, no. Investors want you to lead the fund. And she must have said that to me four times before I actually heard her. And we then had an opportunity to get an anchor investor at 20 million to create a big fund. And, you know, the values, just the alignment wasn't there. It was a lot of money to go build the fund of our dreams, but it wasn't the right alignment and from a value standpoint. And so here I was with this, having been shaken to say, you are the right person, and zero capital and an idea. And I just put together an Excel file with some help from an intern and went out and tried. And 400 rejections later, we raised $10 million. We've produced 5x net value for investors after a year and a half. 100% of the companies are socially impactful. 80% are led by Black, Brown, and Women entrepreneurs. We're a women and Black-led fund. Half of our investors are Black, Brown, or Women. So we've been inclusive in terms of creating wealth for new investor base. And had I just given up when I felt like it, none of that would have happened. So I'm grateful for the chance to go low in order to dig deep and build.
I love that story. That is, that's incredible. So, you know, I think so often too, you have to find the challenge. Is there something that you can do? Is there something you can try more than anything? Because I think I could imagine in that situation where people would, maybe they're going to give you suggestions. They don't really know whether or not, but the fact that you actually decided, you know, what do I have to lose? I might as well go try and see if this is really what it is. And sure enough,
you were able.
It's scary, right? There's a lot of fear behind it.
Especially when you've already failed.
When you've already failed. But then, you know, as my dad used to say, like, when you've already failed, what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
You've already failed, right? So
it's
such a lots of stuff to think about in that for sure. So let's talk about leadership. So you know, obviously you've been leading teams. You just shared a great example of sometimes even great leaders make mistakes along the way. Can you talk to me about like core principles and values that you've seen have really helped you to kind of continue leading and not just developing awesome business, but also just being able to raise money, being able to have a great team. But what is a great leader in your mind?
Well, one of the principles that has served me best in terms of leadership and building a team is I try to only hire people that I would want to work for. Because what I've learned is that I am working for our team. And a lot of times, you know, I cast a vision, but then day to day, they're the ones making sure I do, you know, what needs to happen. From a leadership standpoint, they tell me, they know the details of the day to day better than I do. And so I am serving them. I am working for them. And so hiring people who I want to work for has been really fundamental to my leadership strategy, especially in terms of building a team.
No, I love that. I think that's a really, really important piece because if, you know, you're hiring people who you can't imagine being able to, you know, that you don't want to listen to, for example, then you're actually thinking about it incorrectly.
Upside down.
That I think it's the whole model ends up being upside down. So I love that example. So Carrie, thank you so much for coming on and talking with me. And everybody needs to pick up this book. As I said, it is so good. I'll show it again. It's got an amazing reddish-orange circle on here, Impact the World, Live Your Values, and Drive Change as a Citizen Statesperson. And definitely, everybody who is listening, please give this podcast a 5-star rating, this episode, I should say, and make sure that you grab a copy of this book and definitely follow Carrie on definitely LinkedIn. I know you're on there,
and
but
Instagram,
all social channels.
Facebook.
What's your handle?
I'm at Miss Carrie Rich on Instagram and Carrie Rich on LinkedIn. And we'd love to see you at the Global Good Fund too.
Awesome. And find me on all social platforms at Kara Golden. And don't forget to pick up a copy of my book, Undaunted, where you can hear more about my journey in building the company I founded, Hint. And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and we just added a third day, Friday, which is very, very exciting. And thank you everyone globally for listening to this podcast. And thank you again, Carrie. And everyone have a great rest of the week.
Thank you so much for having me, Kara.
Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.